Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You know what? Screw my explanation. It's better if we don't. Just hit the damn button.
No, don't turn off my mic. I know what I'm doing, okay? I know what I'm doing. I've done this show for... Hey, Dad, don't turn off the fucking mic! The one thing they don't want to hear is silence! No, you shut the fuck up, Dad! It's bad enough that you bring the stubbornness into my life and the mom's life. Don't bring it into everybody else's fucking life!
It's woke news on the Johnny B Show.
Best intro of any segment on the radio right there, folks.
I haven't heard it in a while. That's really good. Really good.
It is. It's great. Great production.
It's good stuff. What do we have for him this week, William?
Oh, we got some goodies. So we were talking about this thing earlier, and there was an article on a blog called Afru. It was circulating around social media on Sunday that claimed drinking coffee perpetuates white supremacy. I wonder if that counts with the white chocolate.
Yeah, dude, I'm drinking a coffee right now. I just went on break and got a coffee.
Oh, my God.
Am I a colonizer? What am I doing?
It would appear so. According to the article, that coffee was created by black people for black people. And now a pillar of white supremacist capitalism. If you consume coffee, looking at you, Johnny B, you are helping an industry built on racism.
And Kelly. Kelly likes coffee.
I do.
Kelly, do you drink? Do you like coffee? Yeah, that's right. You said you drink coffee. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
And herein lies a perfect example of the news stories that we do on Woke News right here on the Johnny B Show. First of all, I thought Colombia was like the home of coffee. Maybe I'm wrong, right?
Well, I don't know. That's what I was thinking, too, because the article claims that every facet of the coffee industry is rooted in racism and that the drink is another thing stolen from black and brown people. So I kind of thought that, too, that coffee was South American, but I think it might be something that's kind of, you know, found around the world. Maybe.
I know they have African coffee beans. I've had some before, and now I feel horrible.
But is that something that was, you know, brought there, that they then planted there and then harvested there? Or
I don't know the issue. Like, you should be able to enjoy food and beverages of all cultures. You should be able to, you know, it also stimulates the economy for all cultures. You know, like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Where coffee comes from. The only thing I see is I don't think this is it, though.
That's not really the case. It's corporations that exploit, you know, where these things. Have you seen, like, videos of lithium, like, mines? And it's insane. Like, that's not being put back into that community.
Kids. Yeah. Kids.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. And that's the thing, too. There's so much hypocrisy out there where people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't support this or you shouldn't support that. But they're tweeting on an iPhone, you know, that was, you know, built by child slavery. You know, it's just and like Chris Rock said, you know, it's like what's the name of his special, Selected Outrage or whatever. It's like, you know. Either be all in or don't. I don't know. You got to walk around on eggshells. Now it's like coffee? I don't think anybody's ever drank coffee and went, yeah, take that, blacks. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
I take mine black, but I don't mean it, you know, to be offensive. It's just the way I like my coffee. You know, I mean, geez, it's not a big deal. Yeah, I don't get the whole idea of you have to, like, be, you know, in order to eat sushi, you have to be Japanese. Otherwise, you can't enjoy it. I like sushi. I like things from all around the world. It's good. Right. It tastes good. I like coffee. Mm-hmm. It's got caffeine in it. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, I'm not just going to eat white food. I don't want raisins in my potato salad. Am I right? Come on, stereotypes.
I mean, you can narrow down, like what your what food you consume based on what portion of the world you're originally from, wherever the land came from. Like, how far are we going back here? Because didn't we all come from the Fertile Crescent of Africa?
I think.
Does that mean, you know, like we kind of traveled around and we're nomads, and I don't know. I just don't get the concept of this. I think even Kelly would agree this is crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I know. I know. I love it. It's ridiculous, and this is a problem. Like they're gonna push too hard, Kelly, and then like look, there's some. You know, like I'm kind of a middle of the road guy. So there's a lot of things that I agree with Kelly on, and I agree with a lot of people on, you know, that people would say, "Oh, wait a minute, Johnny. I didn't think you liked that guy." No, I agree with Democratic views. I agree with some Republican views. I mean, not a lot, you know what I mean? I'm a middle of the road guy, you know, but the thing that I think they're going to push too hard with stuff like this, where it's just going to be like, all right, man, I don't want to listen to anybody on that side, you know, even though there's probably a lot of solid liberal views out there, you know, but people are going to be like, all right, I'm done. Like, I don't even listen to these people. Like, who wrote this article, Will? Is it somebody of importance?
No. And that's what I was just going to say is like, sometimes these things get, you know, in the internet age with this social media and instant connection and having the whole world, you know, kind of at your fingertips. Like, it was just some stupid blog. I don't know what the readership of AFRU is, but I'm sure it's probably not very high. It's not like this is MSNBC or something. And then, you know, it's outrage clickbait where people, you know, I use it because we have a segment and it fits right in with the theme. But it's also like, who cares what this idiot says? It's not, you know, mainstream.
I just hope this person doesn't make more money than I do. And well, they have to.
I mean, everybody does.
I know. I know. Damn it. They would have to be doing it pro bono, really, to be honest.
Probably. I mean, I could probably look it up. Let's see. It's,
I don't know. Because maybe I'll start just trolling and just writing crazy blogs that are just insane like this, if it'll get people clicking, even if they hate me.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? True. I mean, there is a, you know, a market for it, certainly.
Yeah. So, I thought about doing a podcast like that, doing a podcast where I just give the most absurd, like, opinions on common things that are just so far off the beaten path where people just listen to hate my guts and to call me out and to call me a jack off and everything. But it gets to the point where I got so many downloads of people that just want to hate me that I start getting sponsors. And before you know it, you know what I mean? I'm like Alex Jones, but with a better sounding voice, you know?
I don't know. Alex has got a pretty good voice.
Oh,
you do.
It's recognizable. But, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's painful, I mean, to listen to. Voice. It's painful. Yeah. Like, I feel bad. Like, I'm going to eat a lozenge every time I hear him talk, you know?
It sounds cool though. It sounds tough. That's what you want. If you're just listening to it, I think it sounds great.
It sounds like he's been gargling broken glass for 10 years.
That's cool.
It's a scary sound. It's cool. He's a badass.
He sounds like a man.
I ain't bragging. Listen, Joe.
Who would you rather listen to, Alex Jones or Ben Shapiro?
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Those are.
I mean, just by the sounds of their voice alone.
Yeah. They're both nails on the chalkboard for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think Alex has a good voice, and I wish that Ben Shapiro would maybe gargle some glass and drink a bottle of
whiskey. Oh, my God.
Before we got on the air. I just mean that because his voice is so, you know, irritating.
Look here. Look, Will. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe you should take a step back.
Yeah, I know. He seems like he got beat up in high school a lot. Alex Jones looks like he sounds and looks like he beat Ben Shapiro up in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Now they're both super rich, so good for them both. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of them. All right, what do we got next?
Next, we have, do you remember the name? Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, I think we all know who Rachel Dolezal is.
So she is the former president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. which I want to look up what the black population of Spokane, Washington is.
I was just about to say, they had no choice. They had to have a white person. They had no
choice. Oh, yeah.
That is 100% true. My friend used to live there, and there were straight up Klan rallies on Main Street. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah. That's so I didn't even think about that, though. That angle is like, why would she do this? But like, no, they didn't have anybody else. They were like, can we just get a white person that could at least fake it? That'd be great. Okay, good. It's Rachel Dolezal. Good for her.
Yeah, so she is the lady who claimed to be black and then was in the era of social media and Twitter and stuff. She got exposed as being probably the whitest person in the world. I don't know if you ever seen pictures of her in high school that came out online. She's very blonde. She's got freckles and just white as the, what is that saying? Fresh fallen snow. I so you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
And then she got kind of like berated for that. And she was like, all right, look, didn't she at one point go, all right, look, I'm white, but I identify as black. And then they're like,
yes,
you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. And she was like, why not? And they were like, we just can't, we're not doing that. She went, okay. I guess I'll just go do OnlyFans, which she did for a period.
Yeah, it'd be great, though, if they said that. She's like, identify as black. And they're like, you can't. And then she goes, wait a second. And then she just starts doing a stomp dance from, like, a Howard University or something, you know, like a fraternity. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. All right.
Still no. Still no.
Okay.
So she was disgraced. She went online and, did OnlyFans for a while. And was kind of like this figure that was, I don't know, kind of shameful.
Yeah.
She's back. Rachel Dolezal is back online, and she goes by the name Nikichi Ambare Diallo.
Quit it.
She resigned from the NAACP in 2015 when her parents revealed that she was white after she spent years claiming to be a black woman. She moved to Tucson in 2020. That's in Arizona. Now, there was a law that was signed by Governor Hobbs in Arizona, an executive order called the Crown Act. And this is supposed to combat racism that black people encounter when they wear their hair in braids, locks, twists, knots, and head wraps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it does that exactly, but that's what it's meant to do. So, you know, when they do these, you know, bill signings, they generally have an audience, and there's people there to watch it, and then they all clap behind as it's signed, and then, you know, the president will give away the pens and all that stuff, and she was going to do that. So behind Governor Hobbs is a bunch of black ladies, and then Rachel Dolezal is there, too.
Oh, my God.
What the heck is she doing there? So I don't like she's back now. And apparently it's like,
is she white? Is she cool white, though? Is she white in the picture?
She looks the same. She looks the same as she did when she got exposed in 2015. Yeah.
So she just went back. I thought once you go black, you can't go back. I mean, but she did.
I mean, literally. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I thought she was canceled.
I wonder. I'm speculating now because I remember there was that dude. He was a gay English guy, and then he was like, nope, I'm Korean. And then he got all this surgery.
Oh, yeah. He identified as he wanted to be a K-pop star or something. Yeah. He was identifying as Korean. So he got all this surgery to make himself look Korean. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember he kind of got shamed too, but he kind of doubled down and was like, no. This is how I identify. This is what I am. This is what I feel comfortable. And I remember seeing a video on Vice of him fighting with some black lady, and they were going back and forth, and she was saying, no, you can't do this. And he was like, yeah, I can. And they were like, it was kind of just ended, you know, in a stalemate. I'm wondering now with all the transgender stuff, if they're going like, crap, we got to let people just identify how they want. It doesn't matter anymore. So I wonder if all right, let's bring Rachel back. We're going to have to concede this point and let Rachel say she's black. I'm wondering. This is just, you know, what I'm pondering here.
By the way, I think the guy trying to turn Korean, I don't think the problem was with him identifying as Korean. I think the problem was people can't wrap their heads around a Korean guy with a British accent. That bothers people. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever encountered an Asian person with a British accent? Because I have. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's first generation. You know, they come over there from. I mean, there's ones like Asian people that are first generation that are American, and they just sound like Americans, but they can also
that's fine
their native tongue.
It just looks like a dubbed over kung fu movie. But I knew two guys. I mean, I still know them, but I Asian guy and a white guy, both from Jamaica, and they're buddies. And I used to play poker with them, and that is a trip, dude. Like, you know, I know people are listening, going, "Wow, Johnny, you know, you're kind of pushing it." It's funny. I don't care who you are. It catches you off guard. And it's funny at first, you know, he's this white guy with blonde hair, blue eyes, and he's just like, "Look, man, the blood clot," you know, and then the Asian guy's doing the same thing. And I thought they were doing characters. I thought they were trying to be funny, right? And I'm like, "You guys, you know," and they were like, they just kept talking like that. Then I saw him like a week later and they're still talking like that. And I'm like, these guys are owning this bit. Like, they're not stopping, you know, for anything. And I said something to him, and I go, "Dude, you'd swear you guys are from Jamaica." And they're like, "We are. We're from Jamaica." And it was the craziest thing. And they had a lot of fun with it, though. Like, they were never like, you know, "Don't discriminate against us." You know, they would mess with people's heads all the time and play it up and have fun with it. But, yeah, it's crazy. You're not ready for it. That's all I'm saying. You're just not ready. I was talking to somebody else recently, too, and they were talking about, like, in like Mexico has every race you can think of, like every race. And you'll see somebody Asian or somebody, you know, completely black or whatever, and they'll just come up and just speak such fluent, clear, like native tongue. And it just like it's normal, I guess, in Mexico. And, you know, like if you're in a big city like Mexico City, but if you're an outsider like us and you're just there vacationing, you go, "Whoa, what's going on? Hey, I wasn't ready for that." You know, it's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to finish up this story here. About, because so my theory might be wrong, because it says here in conclusion, I don't know though, because I still feel like I might be right, and they just like got caught, so they're like, "Oh crap, all right, we gotta condemn this now." But there's a lady, Jocelyn Berry, she's Governor Hobbs' spokesperson. She told Axios Phoenix that the administration invited advocacy organizations from across the state, and says that she believes that Dolezal was there because she was volunteering for one of those groups under a different name. They said that Barry said that we should not allow a person who is known for misrepresenting herself to take away work that went into this historic action. Bob Elliott, a board member and spokesman for the African American Museum of Southern Arizona, tells Axios that they invited Dolezal, but they only knew her as a volunteer name. Nkechi.
Ah, she snuck in, dude.
She snuck in
under an alias. Kelly, thoughts?
Well, what's funny is she, after she got caught with all of that stuff, like became a hair braider, like a hairstylist doing black styles, and was extremely popular. And it's just like, I just find it funny that like people are very aware of who she is, and some people just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a household name. I mean, for the most part, you say that name and it's like she represents like a poser, you know what I mean? Like an appropriator. Like she's like the face of that, you know? So it's like to show up an event like that under another name, it's pretty ballsy. But at the same time, you're like, "What the hell is going on here?" I mean, I don't know. It's just she's either got mental illness or she's a genius. One of the two. I have no idea.
I mean, it could be both. But I mean, are we not on board for letting people just identify however they want to identify? Or,
I mean, I think at this point you kind of have to. I mean, it's wide open. You know, it's you can. I mean, some of these younger folks. I mean, I saw a whole thing the other day. One of the new pronouns is bug. You know, you could be a bug, and so I mean. I'm not fighting with anybody. You be whatever you want to be, man. You know, just don't expect me to call you a bug. I don't know you're a bug. I'm sorry if I mess up, don't call you a bug. No disrespect to you and the other insects. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to be nice and live my life. You know, that's all. I know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you know, I just don't want to be, you know, at a kawa, you know, and, you know, and go, "Well, thank you, ma'am." And they go, "Bug." And I'm like, up yours, okay? You stupid.
They're wearing a badge with their, with yeah. their pronouns on it. You should know.
I wasn't looking. I didn't want to look too hard because if you stare at people, that's also bad. You yeah. know, like, why are you looking at my yeah. breast? I was oh, trying to read your thing. I didn't.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That's some big old yeah. boobies on that bug. You know, so, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, you know, I see what you're saying. If she says, look, I'm, you know, it's 2023. You told me I couldn't be black in 2013, but now I can't. And they'll be like, damn, she got us. I guess you are.
So, Kelly, can we be anything we want? Identify as any race that we want or no?
I don't. That's,
Rachel Dolezal.
That's different. No. I don't think so.
Saying no?
Mm-mm.
All right. It's in the books. Johnny says yes. Kelly says no. I'm going to go no. I think that you kind of are what you are.
And, I didn't go yes. I went, I don't care anymore.
Okay. I mean, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough whatever. To yes.
As long as Rachel Dolezal or whatever her new name is, I don't know, Hakuna Matata or whatever she's going with, as long as she doesn't affect my life and my family, my friends, I don't care what she does or where she goes. I don't care about what really anybody does or what they do or whatever. Just don't impede on my happiness, and I'm fine. I don't care.
Right. Yeah. Two no's and a yes. Johnny yeah. B, the most progressive one here tonight. I like it. Finally, tonight in woke news, a self-described super fat queer bisexual non-binary therapist featured in a new documentary on Bill Cosby suggested that men could pay consenting women to engage in sex acts while unconscious and under the influence of drugs during an appearance.
That's a lot. Will,
that is a lot.
Can we start over? I mean, that's a lot to unpack okay. in one sentence. I don't even know sure. how you did it in one breath.
Yeah, it was a lot. So there's a super fat queer bisexual non-binary therapist. She was in this documentary about Bill Cosby, and she's gone so far down the rabbit hole that she popped out on the other side, on Bill Cosby's side, and suggested that men could pay consenting women to engage in sex acts while they are unconscious under the influence of drugs. During an appearance in the BBC documentary, We Need to Talk About Cosby, clinical social worker and sex therapist Sonali Rashtawar, he said that sex negativity causes instances of sexual assault and proposed an alternative in I don't even know this word. Basically, she's saying that this Cosby stuff happened because we live in a sex-negative society. It's a cultural thing.
Or he's a rapist.
Or that. But if he just had the opportunity to go into a store and bring some sort of Rufinol with him, and then he could pick one out off the counter and go, come on, you're with me. And then I guess go, here, take this. And then she'll go, okay, wait a minute. Before I take this, do you have a Visa or MasterCard? I don't take Amex. Mm. And he's going to be like, oh, my God, okay, I have to go to the ATM. I'll be right back. I only have my Amex. Okay.
All right.
So then he leaves, goes back, gets out $1,000, yeah. comes back, gives her $1,000 or whatever the price they agree upon, gives her the Rufinol. She takes it. I guess he waits a little bit. They, you know, make some small talk about what's Baker Mayfield going to do with the Bucks. I don't know. You know, it's wide open. And then she goes, oh, I'm tired. She falls asleep. And then he acts out whatever sexual desires that he has.
So it's prearranged. So he finds, you know, to review what you just went through. And so that I understand and everybody else, he finds a hooker and he says to her, you know, like, you are going to fall asleep. And then I'm going to take my new wiki and you're telling who, you know, and it's, so she knows that it's all like a game. It's like a sex fantasy. So she knows she's going to get roofied. She takes the roofie. She may even act like she doesn't know it's in the coffee. Like he goes, oh, I made you cappuccino, right? And he makes her a cappuccino. And then she's like, oh, darn, this tastes good. I wonder what you put in it. And then she drinks it. And then she's like, I'm going to make a sleepy time. And he's like, you know, oh. And then he has sex with her. And then it's all legal.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Basically. This same person has traced contemporary fat phobia to colonial brutality and has said that curing anti-fatness would require the dismantling of society's foundation. So she's got some ideas. I mean, she's definitely thinking outside of the box there a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot. This person is a lot. No pun intended. No pun intended. But there seems to be a lot going on here. It almost seems like too much. Almost seems like whatever it takes for a little bit more attention. I mean, maybe some of the stuff that they are saying is on point, but it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
I mean, like some of this stuff that I hear, I go, I guess if we're going to accept this framing, then she's right. Like if somebody, I don't think prostitution should be illegal necessarily. If somebody consents to it, then it's like, okay.
So your body.
If they agree to take the pill and then have stuff done to them, I guess that's okay. But I feel like also too, it gives me red alerts in my gut. Like this is not something that should be going on. But I don't know. I mean, like if two is consenting adults agree to it, then I guess like go bonkers. But it doesn't feel right. And I don't know if Cosby's thing was, you know, I get off on the idea of having a lady be asleep. I think he might have just been the rapist and was like, it's much easier to rape when they're asleep.
Yes. There's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of folks that is their method of rape is to, you know, slip somebody a pill. It goes on all the time. People get roofied in bars right now, today, you know, in present day, you know, or just go to a, you know, you got these, I mean, how many college girls have been raped by a frat bro that you know, she got so trashed that she doesn't remember? Millions and millions and millions, probably. Like, it's a common method of rape, and it doesn't make it right, and you can't frame it to make it right. You can't say, well, if he could have had some outlet to do it. Shut up. Shut up. Yeah, it breaks my heart that Cosby's a rapist. He's America's dad. He's a fantastic comedian, you know, but the guy raped people. Jesus.
I feel like the drug is just a tool. It's not really part of the fetish of the whole thing. I mean, I could be wrong. There seems to be something for everybody out there and everybody's got their thing. But so maybe it is. But I think it probably just was like, oh, it's much easier to do this when they're, you know, unconscious.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.